As entrepreneurs, we see the world differently. In a world that not only tolerates but promotes mediocrity, we unreasonably demand more. Giving you access to the world's most successful entrepreneurs and thought leaders, this podcast uncovers the untold truths of what it really takes to build a multi-million dollar business while optimizing your personal performance in every area of your life. I'm Jack DeLosa. Let's get to work. Branding is one of the most fundamentally misunderstood areas of business. It underpins every single function in your company and really underwrites the success or otherwise of how much traction your business will gain. Having said that, even though it's so incredibly important, it's so incredibly misunderstood by so many business owners and executives alike. That's why I am very excited to have Kieran Flanagan joining us on the Jack DeLosa podcast today. Kieran is an absolute rock star, one of the best in the world, in my opinion, when it comes to helping great brands build and scale. She's also a great friend of mine and has been involved in the Entourage forever and helped us with a rebrand and a brand refresh back in 2014. So we're going to do something a little bit different today. The Entourage is, again, I encourage people to do this every 3 to 5 years, re-engage with your brand. What does your company stand for? Who is it connecting with? What is the growth opportunities? We're now going through another brand refresh. And so what I'm talking to Kieran today about is her process for how she builds great brands. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Live and unplugged.
By the way, Kieran's had all of 90 seconds to prepare for this podcast because we thought the topic was going to be something else. Then we thought, let's discuss brand and the process that you'd run through and how you helped Coca-Cola and Unilever and all those sorts of people build great brands.
So here we are.
90 seconds later. Let me just give Kieran a quick introduction. So Kieran's the co-founder of the Impossible Institute, a think tank and consultancy that works with C-suite executives and teams to help them develop capabilities they need to scale. Kieran and her business partner, Dan Gregory, have worked in the fields of commercial creativity, behavioral strategy, branding, innovation for over 25 years. They're the team behind the most successful new product launch in Australian history and have applied considerable experience to social change for programs with the United Nations in Singapore, as well as category inventions for the likes of Coca-Cola, Unilever, and News Corp. They've also been voted by Meetings and Conventions USA, the two of the top 25 C-suite speakers to watch. So get out your notepads or your iPads, however you take notes. I want you guys getting really practical about how you can build a great brand as a result of the next 20 to 30 minutes. Kieran, let's start with, because this is what I think a lot of people don't fully appreciate. What is a brand?
It's a great question, Jack. And I think you're right. I think people get super confused and enamored with the sexy side of branding, the look, the feel, the logo.
The
you know what it's like? You're starting a business and that moment you get a business card, it feels legitimate. You feel tangible. You're so excited to show everyone, hey, here's my logo and I've got a business. And it's such a tip of the iceberg. And we get sort of waylaid in the look and feel of a business. We go, what color is it? But a brand is essentially a shortcut. It's a mnemonic for our brains that allows someone to say, I have a whole bed of knowledge about you that I don't particularly need to think about.
Yeah.
When people know your brand, when great brands like Nike can take the words off and you can just see the swoosh and you know exactly who that brand is and a whole lot of what it means and what it stands for. Mm. So what we want to do is build an agreed definition, I guess, that happens between you and your customers. What's the thing that transpires between you? And it's all kinds of things. Everything is branding if it says something about the kind of business you are and the sort of people you serve. That's branding.
I love that you say everything is branding. I do not distinguish between business strategy and brand strategy.
Yeah.
To me, they're one of the same, because it's who are we? What do we stand for? What's our messaging and our positioning and our marketing? How are we selling? What products are we developing and delivering? What products are we not developing and delivering? It's so, what would you say? It's like it's so cohesive and inseparable from the business.
Yes, great brands actually. So we talk about behavioral branding sometimes and the mistake we make is, again, we put it into marketing's function.
Yeah.
And great brands actually talk about behavior. So what are brand behaviors that become signatures in a way, that become shortcuts, that become messages, that become a way to demonstrate what kind of company you are?
Mm.
That's great branding. And you know, we don't spend enough time talking about what are the behaviors that will happen that will bring the brand to life.
Yes.
We spend way too much time on our visual livery and we get obsessed about it.
Yes.
And to be honest, at some point a name, you know, we were over-obsessed about names. Names become what they mean. You know, there's lots of strange names that you go, would I ever have picked that? I mean, Apple is a classic example of an unusual name, right?
Yeah.
You know, but
particularly at the time, right? Because
yeah.
there was IBM, HP, there's all these big block letter acronyms, corporate 80s.
Because it sounds important.
And then they come out with Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, you know, it has a meaning behind it that the obviously the founders understood the meaning, but the average person doesn't overly think about it today.
Yeah.
Like my daughter would never, she's 10, she's grown up with Apple.
Yeah.
It's never not existed in her world. You know, she's not on an iPad from as long as she can remember.
Mm.
I doubt she's ever stopped to think about why did they call it Apple.
Mm, mm.
Nor should she care.
No, correct.
But does she have a whole understanding of what that brand is, even as a 10-year-old? She sure does.
Yep.
She sure does. And that's, the, you know, brands need to become, you know, what people say about you when you're not in the room. Shortcuts in our brains, I unconsciously choose you because I know that that means that.
Yes.
And it also is, how do we make a brand reflect your identity?
Mm.
So people buy congruent to their identities.
Mm.
So I think one of the big mistakes we make in branding is to think it's about us. We think it's all about us. Who are we? And what do we want to say to the world? And aren't we amazing? And they need to know this about us. Whereas I think great brands make it about their customers.
Yes.
And they understand that a brand is something that people identify with and they'll share with other people proudly. That they're happy to be seen with that on them because it says something about who they are.
Yes.
And they're all the kind of person they want to become.
I'm really glad you said that because, as I said, we're going through a brand refresh at the moment. And, you know, where I don't know whether this is the starting point, but it's definitely near the start. And I think it's a key paradigm shift for people around branding, which is get the consumer insight. You know, if you're an existing business, why are they coming to you? What are the emotions that they're striving for? When they are engaging with you, what are the emotions that they're actually achieving? What are the emotions that they're coming to you that they're not achieving? You know, you can draw so much insight out of customers, or if you don't have customers yet, some people from that target market. Can you talk a little bit to the importance of consumer insight and how you guys structure a process around eliciting accurate consumer insight?
It's a fantastic question because accurate consumer insight is one of the great challenges we all face in business because people lie.
Yeah.
People in research groups, shock horror, don't tell you the truth. And I've sat through a lot of them. Right. And if you believe research groups, no one is eating at McDonald's. But I've been to food courts and I've seen the queues.
Yeah.
So we're all eating salad.
Yeah.
We're never eating McDonald's. Our
we
kids
don't
are
drink
going
Coca-Cola.
To bed. We don't drink Coca-Cola. Our kids are going to bed on time. We go to the gym
six
frequently.
Times a week.
Really,
we all get up at 5 a.m.
We project who we want other people to think we are in a room. So it's very tricky. We have a process, we call it mining the gap. And we say great insight comes from a lot of observation and conversation, but conversation that has a filter on that says, what do they say they do? And what do they actually do?
Yeah.
And if you can find that magic piece in the middle, that you go, where are the gaps between what they say and how they behave? If you can close those gaps, so let's just say they say they go to the gym, but they never go.
Mm, mm.
If you can close that gap, you'll have a great business because it's who they want to be and who they actually are. Good brands bridge it.
And are there key questions that you encourage, let's say, an SME style business to go and ask their customers? Is there a starting point? Or some set questions that are quite meaningful in most contexts?
I'm trying to think of, it depends on the business.
Yep.
The actual questions you ask will very much depend on the business and what you're trying to find out. Because again, a mistake you can make, you need to know your customer unbelievably well, and most businesses don't. Mm. Most businesses can tell you all about their product and their service, and they bore you to death. They bore you to death. But you ask them about their customer, and their knowledge is very surface. Their knowledge is unbelievably simple. And, you know, again, we like to go, it's Jenny and Bill and they're 35 and they live in the suburbs. Yeah, we get this sort of weird, let's make an avatar.
It's very surface level.
It's very surface. Yeah. And, you know, my thing is, how do you get into the motivation and the identity? How do you get the psychographic going on? Doritos, their target market used to be Forever 21, which I think is really an interesting sort of position. They didn't worry about an age group and an income level. These are people that, you know, when they have a packet of Doritos, it's all about sort of being a 21-year-old again and not worrying about what you're eating and just having a good time and, you know, being social or watching telly or doing those things in there. So great insight is when you get to that point that you deeply and richly understand the identity. Because here's the interesting thing about identity. It's very hard to shift in people, and we think we can more than we can. So if you ask a room full of people, which Dan and I have sometimes done, if you say, hands up if you weren't born in Australia, a lot of people put their hands up. And if you say, of you with your hands up, put your hand down if you consider yourself Australian. And most people put their hands down. And then of the people with their hands still up, you say, how many of you are Kiwis? And the majority of them will be Kiwis.
Right.
Because being a New Zealander, part of your identity is you're not Australian.
Right.
Because if people go, oh, you kind of live close to each other, aren't you a bit the same?
Whereas everybody else now identifies as an Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
That's the power of identity.
Yeah.
And if, let's just say we were, you know, doing something for Kiwis in Australia, we'd need to understand that.
Yeah.
In order to create a really great brand for them.
Yeah.
Because how do you not make it, hey, be Australian?
Yeah.
Because be Australian would never work as a strategy for them when you understand that.
Right.
So the questions you need to ask are, what do they want?
Yep.
What do they need? What drives them mad? A lot of juice is in finding out what irritates
Frustrations.
Them. Frustrations. You know, if you can solve, people buy Panadol first. I have an urgent pain. I want it to go away. You know, and a lot of businesses, I think, build far too into, in an ideal scenario, under ideal laboratory conditions, I will use this. Do you know what I mean? Like on a good day, when I'm at my best, you know, how do you design for people's bad days? How do you design for the pain points? How do you design for that?
Yep.
And I don't think we dig in enough to that.
Yep.
And you gotta get below that surface level niceness, that surface level conversations. And people actually feel sorry for you. So often as a startup or a scaling business and you show people your product and stuff, and I can't remember the woman's name, apologies, but she's from P&G, she's amazing.
Mm.
She talks very much about P&G had a really great transition when they realized that they were trying to take things to finish to customers.
Yeah.
So their research was make it as real as you possibly can, and then get your customers to give you feedback.
Yeah.
But what they didn't know, because they kept having these failures, was that people felt bad because they could see how much effort they'd put in.
Right.
So they didn't want to tell them it sucked.
Yeah.
So they made up very polite surface things they didn't like. But when they took things in rough and half done and they made it out of cardboard and they made it very basic and they talked to people about it, people wanted to help.
Mm. They felt like they still had permission to
Well, influence. They felt like, oh, you poor things, you've got no idea.
You clearly need my help.
You need my help. And so because they were like, oh, let me help you out. You seem really nice.
Yeah.
You seem nice, Jack. Let me help you out. You clearly need my help. So again, we need to, all business owners need to become obsessed with human beings.
Yes.
You
yes.
have to so study. True. Branding is actually, how do you deeply understand human beings?
Yes.
So you can distill what they want
and
then put it in a package they can buy and relate to. And most brands fail because they don't ever do the work. Most businesses fail because they don't do the work.
100%. I love that. As business owners, you need to become obsessed with human beings. If there's one thing that I think has been an advantage of mine, it's absolutely that. You know, I was studying psychology from the age of 14. My mum was an NLP trainer and a teacher and all of that sort of stuff. And so I was learning about psychology probably from the age of six, and then reading it deeply, leadership, management, influence, human psychology. And it's been invaluable for me. When we went through a process with you guys in 2015, there was a particular model that we found really useful, and it was like the lighthouse of the business.
Lighthouse.
Four key elements to really for a business owner to dive into, to define, so that they can become a brand that really connects with consumer. Yes. Can you talk us through those four key things?
Yeah, look, a brand lighthouse is good because, again, we tend to make brands too complex. So, you know, oh, and here's my tome that shows how thorough I've been, and I've got pages of stuff, and I've got to now distill it into, you know, 2 seconds at a counter or a touch of an app button.
Yeah.
So we like to use a brand lighthouse, and it's a really good distillation way. It's a triangle. See, it's like play school. It's a triangle. and the triangle has it different anchor points. So you've got your truth.
Yep.
So what do you fundamentally know to be true?
Yes.
About your business and your customer.
And the way you guys sort of communicated that to us in 2015 was, it's the truth about your business and your customer that you never see changing. It's like the eternal truth of the business.
Yeah, it should be what is it? And the truths at the base. So you want to have your truths sort of anchoring at the base of it. And on the other side is your rock. And your rock is what is fundamental to you. What are you building your business on?
Mm.
What product, service, offering is the rock of what you do? Because again, how you deliver it will change.
Yes.
Technology will change, desires will change, fashions will change. But, you know, for you, if you go, we want to educate and elevate entrepreneurs, let's just say that. You know, that fundamentally won't change.
Yep.
How you do it may change.
Yep.
You go, it could be online, it could be in person, it could be a book, it could be a TV show, it could be a movie. There's lots of ways that could happen.
Yeah.
But the fundamental need to kind of transform the mindset of the planet on that space won't change. So that
becomes
your rock.
It's interesting you mentioned that. So our truth is life is led by choice and not by chance. That was our truth.
That was your truth.
You guys helped us create. And that's all about for us. That's, we fundamentally believe that anybody and everybody has the choice to choose what kind of life they want to lead rather than being a victim of circumstance. And then our rock, as you say, is kind of the enduring truth, and it might change in channels and all that sort of stuff, but our rock is intuitive training and education. We want training and education that's intuitive, and that one can follow their own intuition through a process, just to give.
So it's not a dictatorial, you must educate this way. And that, you know, for you guys, that's never going to change. You know, you go, we want to show up to make this education that way.
Yeah.
And choice, not chance, you know, is that ethos of, you know, you want to have people be lit up by the idea that they do get to choose how they spend their life.
Yes.
And I know, you know, you personally are so lit up by that.
Yeah.
You know, what we look for in branding, and, you know, using you as a great example, is your truth should be the thing that it's in your DNA.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Can't purge it.
Yeah.
It just permeates your brain and your thinking, because great brands get that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to use big brands just because they're easy for a broad audience, but Nike, you know, the heroism of participation was sort of their thing.
Yep.
They're like, it's noble to have a go.
Yeah.
It's noble to participate whether you're fit or not. You know, it's why, you know, they can go from elite athletes to the little fat kid running. It's beautiful. One of their most successful, most loved campaigns was the kind of heroism of, you know, starting to run.
Participating.
Well, you know, when it's hard to run.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a professional athlete paid to do it, sure, it's hard.
Yeah.
But when you're, you know, a kid, when you're a human being, which most of us can relate to, trying to get into shape, that's pretty noble and it's not easy.
Mm.
So they're able to, that's their kind of that fundamental truth that runs through. So you've got your truth and your rock, and then you've got your sort of rally cry in the center.
Yep.
So your rally cry is, what's the thing that you're going to scream out to the world that they'll go, we're with you.
Yep.
You know, your rally cries, you know, how do we gather? How do we gather people? What can we say to them? So your truth's sort of a bit more your truth, and it needs to be relevant to your customer, but it's a bit more you. And your rock's the thing you promise, I guess. What's the promise you're going to make?
Yep.
Your rally cry is the thing that's going to garner and galvanize.
Yeah.
What do we have people come? I can't remember what your rally cry was.
Our rally cry is live on purpose.
That's right.
Yeah.
Live on purpose. So you can see, because I do think it's good for people if they can sort of imagine that brand lighthouse.
Yeah.
And then the top is...
The top is...
That's terrible.
Is it the lighthouse at the top?
Yeah, it's just a lighthouse. It's a light. No, a message.
Yeah.
Message, hang on, rock. This is why it's live and unplugged. I normally would have a sheet to fill in. This is the truth
I was looking at this the other day. Actually, I don't think it's on my... I think it's on my computer.
We'll be like, please edit.
It's the light. It is the light, but I'm trying to remember what the entourage's was.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what yours is.
Ah, create your own path.
Right.
So don't walk somebody else's path. Create your own path.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, so yeah, so we've got the rock, which is like the fundamental that's not going to change.
Yep.
You've got the truth, which is the enduring truth. And then you've got the light, which is like, if you're getting closer towards messaging it, what would that be? And for us, that's create your own path. And then the middle sits rally cry, which is live on purpose, which can become a tagline, I suppose, but it's the
crux of your
message.
It doesn't necessarily have to
doesn't
be,
need to.
But you sort of want to start to get it succinct and something people might want to engage with. Whereas the light can be less of that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people get those mixed up.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's easy to go, oh, hang on, the light and the message. But the light is, what are you shining a light onto? You know, if the world's kind of imagined dark, all this messaging, what are you shining a light onto?
Yep.
So people will see it and they'll be able to engage with it.
Yeah.
What are you doing as a business? So none of it's about color or look and feel.
No.
It's all about communication and essence in a way. Brands are actually a distillation process.
Yeah.
And most people don't give up enough. So one of the biggest challenges, and I think we, you know, you face this yourselves, is most of us are incredibly complex or like to think we are.
Mm.
And we like to think we're incredibly special.
Mm.
And that how could I possibly just, you know, distill myself down to that essence? I mean, we all find it hard.
Yeah.
You know, in my line of work, I'm like, oh, but I do leadership and creativity and brand. Oh, yeah. It's, but how can I just pick one?
Yeah.
And most of us fail because we don't choose.
Yeah.
Most of us fail because we're too broad.
Yeah.
Most of us never get specific and tight enough and give up enough.
Yeah.
So I think branding is a lot about what are you willing to give up.
Is there one piece of branding advice that you violently disagree with, that you hear all the time and it makes you cringe?
Oh, just that branding's, you know, that...
The logo,
the business card. I'm working on my branding. No, you're working on your look and feel.
Yeah.
you're working on your logo.
Yeah.
So people tend to go, oh, I'm working on my branding, and they're working on the logo. And I go, you've forgotten the very fundamental of branding.
Yeah.
You've actually forgotten, you know, what are you giving up? What are you simplifying to? What behavior are you going to build into your, let's just say you're a retail offering, behaviors will you build into your staff? So when I walk into a store, I have an experience that is unique.
Yeah.
Because great brands do that really well. And that's the stuff people share. The stuff they share isn't, hey, look at this logo. No, it says, has anyone ever sent you a company's logo?
That's a very good question.
Has anybody ever gone, see this cool logo?
Never.
No.
Yeah.
They go, you know what? I walked into, I'm trying to think of a good example of a company that's done something behavioral. Yeah, they go, I walked in and they gave me an ice block because it was a really hot day and the line was long.
Yeah.
That's what they remember.
Yeah.
And if that's aligned with, you know, we're refreshing, for example, then that's a perfect example. Because congruence, great branding allows you to quickly define what you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And great branding actually should almost be that. It's almost a filter system that says, how do we not get distracted by things that are off path?
Yeah. And a filter system for everything.
Everything.
From visuals to marketing, message, sales, conversations, products to develop.
Yep.
Yeah.
What we sell.
Yeah.
Who we serve.
How big we want to grow.
I mean, even because you go, if that's, say we're the most intimate company on earth.
Yeah.
Then you may go, is this scale problem?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I suddenly have 20,000 people in a room, can I create the intimacy I would need to?
Yeah. Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
So it should be, you need to have, we call them guiding questions.
Mm.
So again, I think we don't necessarily look at branding enough from a questioning point of view.
Yeah.
So it really, having a guiding question is, how do we have something that allows you to regulate your decision? So the most famous story, and everybody argues about whether it was the British rowing team or the New Zealand America's Cup crew or the Australian America's Cup crew, they're all trying to claim the story because I think it's a good one, is when they were building to win, that they did, their guiding question was, does it make the boat go faster?
Yeah.
So if it made the boat go faster, if their fundamental reason for being was speed, I'm winning.
Yeah.
Right? So you go, their rock is speed.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the boat go faster, essentially became a filter system. Yeah. What colour's the sail going to be? Does it make the boat go faster? We don't care.
Yeah.
We're not going to waste time on it. So do you as a business and a scaling business have a guiding question?
Yeah.
Do you have something that allows you to know where to focus energy or not? Because as you know, one of the biggest things about having your own business is, how do you get everything done?
Yeah.
And most of us do the wrong things
and
put our time and energy into the stuff that doesn't actually fundamentally make a difference, because we don't understand our brands enough to actually filter out the things.
Well, that's what Steve Jobs said, coming back to Apple. He said, people think that values, and another quote of his is, values is branding. Values is about learning what you can say yes to. He says, that's not what it is at all. It's about learning what you should say no to. We'd say no to 1,000 things to say yes to one great thing. So I think a filter system is a really good way of looking at it. Finally, a couple of rapid fire questions for you. What's a question you wish more people would ask you around branding?
I'm like, you know what? I don't actually spend a lot of my time doing branding work.
Yeah.
So it's something that I do for friends and people I deeply love, but most of my time is spent training more than, I guess, doing it. So I think I'd love people to ask me, how do they simplify it?
Wow.
I think they actually overcomplicate it.
Yes.
And over, just make it hard work.
Yes.
It's just, this stripping away idea.
Yep.
Well, how do we just make it really simple? And how do we do that? Because, it's so easy to layer brands.
Mm.
Oh, we started with this, and then we know we needed this, so we added that, and then we need, and then we got a sideline, and then we've added another name, and another. It just blows my mind, and it's just complicated. And I get, you get evidence of industry, and you get stuff to show your mum.
Yeah.
Like,
business card factor.
It's a business, it's a stuff. When you have stuff, we love, human beings love stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We like having evidence of progress.
Yeah.
So my friend Dr. Jason Fox, he talks a lot about progress. So some studies were done, and human beings, our biggest motivation in the world is progress.
Yeah.
So we, as business owners, we tend to dig in there and go, oh, I can demonstrate progress because I have the product.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the box.
Yeah.
I have another logo. I've got a thing. I've got a widget. Yeah, we build an app before we're ready. We fundamentally haven't actually conceptually nailed it.
Yeah.
We don't need all the functionality of an app to know if it will work or not. We build it too fast and spend too much money in the wrong spots.
Mm.
So I think, I'd like people to simplify that.
Yep. Love it. Where can people find you?
People can find me at theimpossibleinstitute.com.
Yep.
That's probably easy. I'm on Insta, think Kieran F. And
That's the actual handle, by the way. It's not that she thinks her name is Kieran F. It's think Kieran F.
That could sound that way, couldn't it?
I think it's Kieran F.
Yeah, I know. It may change at some point, which is what we do.
Thank you so much for coming on. It was a really useful conversation, one that needs to happen more, which is, what is brand and how do we move closer to building great ones?
Awesome.
Kieran Flanagan, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Jack DeLosa.
Thanks for tuning into today's podcast. I'm Jack DeLosa. If you enjoyed listening, make sure you hit subscribe and you'll be the first in line to get every new episode sent directly to your phone. While you're at it, open Instagram and connect with me. My handle is simply at Jack DeLosa, DELOSA. This is where you'll find me every day sharing the secrets of scaling multi-million dollar businesses and giving you a behind the scenes look at what it really takes to build a life that you love. You can also find me on all the usual places, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Just search Jack DeLosa. Thanks again for listening. And as always, dream out loud. That's a wrap.
Yeah.